Welcome to Sleep Cues, the Everything Baby Sleep podcast. I'm Erin, pediatric sleep consultant and founder of The Happy Sleep Company. From cat naps to night wakes and regressions to teething, we cover all things baby sleep. With a passion for children's sleep, we're here to help tired families get healthy rest. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Sleep Cues, the Everything Baby Sleep podcast. Today is Q&A Tuesday. We've got our top five questions from last week that I got from clients, that I got from followers on Instagram. I kind of picked out a few that are about scheduling and a couple that are about removing overnight feeds or managing overnight wake-ups. Kind of themed them into that for this week. We get so many questions about scheduling, and why not? Of course we do. Scheduling and night wakes are really the two big things when it comes to baby sleep for a lot of families. How do I get the schedule on track? What is the right daytime schedule? Why is my baby still waking up multiple times at night? And what are the ways that I could manage that? So let's dive in for today and answer those questions. First question is about a schedule for a 6.5-month-old. What's a good schedule for a 6.5-month-old? That was the question. 6.5 months is kind of a tricky age for some families. And I would say even between about 5 and 7.5 months. So 6.5 right in the middle of that. And why is it tricky? Because most children between about 5 and 7.5 to 8 months need 3 naps per day. However, it can be tricky to fit in the 3 naps without ending up with a really late bedtime. And so a lot of parents will find this awkward timing near the end of the day where they don't really have enough time for another nap, but they have too much time left before bedtime and their baby's going to be overtired if we don't get in another nap. So this can be tricky. And I bet there are a lot of followers of children who are around 5, 6, 7 months who are nodding their heads right now, because I generally see that when I am doing maybe an in-person seminar or I'm talking to a new client with a 6-month-old, they're nodding their head when I talk about that awkward timing that can sometimes happen at the end of the day at this age. So how do we help that? And how do I answer this question at the same time? What's a good schedule for a 6.5-month-old? For a child this age, I generally like a wake window of about 2 hours in the morning before their first nap, and 2.5 hours leading up to their other naps and bedtime. If we're only around 5 months or so, we're probably only doing about 2 to 2.25 hours of awake time. But once we get to 6.5 months, we can usually do 2 in the morning and then 2.5 hours leading up to their other naps and bedtime. However, this is where you have to be a little bit finicky with the schedule sometimes to ensure you fit in that little third cat nap at the end of the day to help your baby get to an age-appropriate bedtime without being overtired. And this is why generally at this age, around 6 months, we are capping the first nap of the day at 1.5 hours. We are capping the second nap of the day at 1.5 hours. And we are capping the third nap around 30 to 45 minutes. The third nap of the day is usually a cat nap anyway, but if your child is trying to nap longer than 30 to 45 minutes for that one, I would generally wake them up so we're not ending up with a super late bedtime. You might also need to wake your child up by a certain time each morning at this age to fit in the 3 naps. If your 6.5-month-old has kind of a tough night, and then you think, well, I'll just let them sleep as late as they want in the morning as a result, and they sleep until 8 a.m., that's where you're probably going to end up with that tricky timing at the end of the day. You have time for the first nap, you have time for the second nap, but then you run out of time for the third nap because you let your child sleep till 8 o'clock in the morning, but you need that third nap because you still have too much time until bedtime. So that's why I would actually wake a child this up around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning to make sure you have time in the day for 3 great naps and a proper bedtime. When your child moves to a 2-nap schedule, which usually happens around 8+ months for most children, then you can let them sleep until 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning if they ever decide that they want to do that, because you're only trying to fit in 2 naps in the day anyway, because at that point they can handle all of the awake time that comes along with a 2-nap schedule. But at 6 months of age, usually children can't handle enough awake time to get on a 2-nap schedule. So we coordinate things so that they can have 3 naps. Next question, could you give me a sample schedule for a 19-month-old? 19-month-olds are generally on one nap a day, so absolutely we can do that. Let's talk about a sample schedule for a child who is sort of 16 to 18 plus months and on a one nap schedule. Normally at this age, infants, young toddlers, even older toddlers and preschoolers, we're seeing a child wake up for the day anytime between about 6 and 7 a.m. It's a really normal time for a baby or a toddler to wake up and be ready to start their day. So we're awake between 6 and 7, and I love a nap at noon for a 19-month-old. We don't want to do the nap earlier than noon because then we risk your child having too much awake time in the afternoon before bedtime. So some parents tell me they're doing a one nap schedule and they put their child down for their one nap at 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. The issue with that is that then the nap is probably already done by around 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And now your child has a really big stretch of awake time before bedtime. And they might actually start to get overtired by bedtime. And overtiredness at bedtime can lead to things like night wakes and early morning wake-ups. So we don't want the nap way before noon. We also don't want the nap later than noon at this age because, again, we don't want your baby getting overtired this time for nap time. We don't want them waiting so long for their nap that they're getting overtired because that can cause a lot of crankiness. It can cause a difficult nap, a short nap. So noon is a really good time to put a 19-month-old down for their nap, have lunch a little bit before that. This is what a lot of daycares do. They have lunch around 11, 11:15, and then they finish their lunch and go straight into nap time routine and have the children down at noon. That's great. It's a really balanced sleep day that way. Hopefully we're napping for 2 to even 3 hours at this age, and then we're going to bed around 7, maybe 7:15 latest. If your child is only napping around an hour and a half at this age, at 19 months, I would probably consider a slightly earlier bedtime than 7 p.m. because they might be overtired by 7 p.m. if they only have an hour and a half nap. So you might consider more like a 6:30, 6:45 p.m. bedtime if your child's only napping an hour and a half in the middle of the day. And if your child only naps an hour or less some days, I would do a 6 o'clock bedtime those nights for a 19-month-old because we're probably going to be pretty tired by the end of the day if we only napped for an hour at this age, probably a 6 o'clock bedtime. Next scheduling question, then we're going to get into some questions about night wakes. What are good wake windows for an almost 4-month-old? Great question. Always remember when you hear anybody talk about wake windows that we're talking about in general, on average. Is what I'm about to say going to apply to every single 4-month-old? No, not necessarily. But on average, I would suggest that many 4-month-olds can handle about an hour and a half of awake time before their first nap, and then an hour and 45 minutes leading up to their other naps and bedtime. You often hear me talk about the first wake window of the day being shorter than all the rest. Babies are usually most tired and ready for their first nap of the day. They've had a good night's sleep, they're still refreshed, they're ready to go down for some more sleep. As the day goes on, baby usually needs a little more sleep pressure to be able to go down for their other naps. So that's why you will often hear me talk about the first wake window of the day at any age being a little bit shorter. In this case, an hour and a half for a 4-month-old. And then you'll hear me talk about the other wake windows being a little bit longer. In this case, an hour and 45 minutes for a 4-month-old. Most 4-month-olds are going to need 4 naps each day. If your 4-month-old is rocking out 3 great naps, then sure, they can probably get to bedtime no problem with just those 3 if the naps are each like an hour and a half plus. But a lot of 4-month-olds are still having short naps, and that's really normal, at least some short naps in the day, if not all. So you're probably going to be seeing 4 naps, maybe even 5 some days. Don't stress. The naps will come. The lengths will come with some time, some age, some development. But 4 naps most days at this age on that hour and a half to hour 45 minute wake window schedule. Okay, night wakes. Next question. How do you know when baby is waking up hungry or just waking up at night because they woke up and don't know how to go back to sleep without the boob, was the question. So you will want to think about various factors with regards to this. Certainly, you want to check in with your doctor or your healthcare provider, do a weight check, make sure your baby is on a proper growth curve. I have worked with many, many, many children 4+ months who can do the whole night without a feed, who can sleep through the night. That's entirely possible. We actually just recently on the podcast had an infant feeding expert and a lactation consultant on to talk about how her own baby slept through the night prior to 4 months. So it really depends on the baby. I've also seen 6-month-olds who aren't quite where they need to be on their growth curve, who then still need an overnight feed. So it definitely depends on the baby. You have to take that into consideration. You have to do what you are most comfortable with as a parent. However, when a child is 4+ months, and they're on a proper growth curve, and we have no weight concerns, many, many children can actually sleep through the night. There might be various other factors with regards to why they don't. So if you've checked in with your doctor, if your baby is well out of the newborn stage, you've checked with your healthcare provider and they have no concerns with your child's health or weight, baby's on a proper growth curve, then we want to start to think about why baby might still be waking up multiple times per night. If we've all kind of agreed that, okay, this doesn't seem like it's about hunger, given what a healthy weight my baby is and the age they are. So what could be some of the other reasons that they're waking up at night? If you think about whether your baby needs to be rocked to sleep at bedtime, fed to sleep at bedtime, have a pacifier replaced multiple times in order to go to sleep, these things are what I call sleep crutches. And if you follow us on Instagram at The Happy Sleep Company, you know that I call them sleep crutches, sleep props, and they aren't inherently bad. Don't get me wrong. Many parents use these kinds of crutches to get their baby to go to sleep, especially in the newborn stage when sleep is really tough, and they can be really helpful. But then a lot of parents will come to us at The Happy Sleep Company and say, now we're well out of the newborn stage, and it seems this is the only way my baby knows how to go to sleep. My back is really hurting from all the rocking I'm doing, or I'm really, really exhausted from needing to get up multiple times at night to feed baby at a point where I don't think it's really about hunger. How can I make a change here? And that's really what it is about. It's about making that change when we recognize that what we've been doing previously isn't working well for our family anymore. And if baby needs those crutches in order to get to sleep at bedtime, it's very likely and reasonable that baby would need those crutches in order to get back to sleep multiple times during the night, anytime they're in a light stage of sleep. So in response to the mom who asked this question, we have to think about whether there are things going on when baby is going to sleep that we could reasonably then assume baby is going to have in order to get back to sleep at night. And if there's a lot of that stuff going on at nap times and at bedtimes, the rocking, the bouncing, the feeding to sleep, that may be why baby is waking up multiple times at night looking for a feed, even at an age and a weight where your healthcare provider would agree they don't necessarily need a feed overnight anymore. And that's where you might look at some sleep coaching, which is the idea of removing those crutches and teaching your little one how to go into the crib awake and fall asleep using just their own sleep skills. And that can be really challenging. That can be really tough because that's really new and different for a baby who's never done that before. So you really want to go into that with a plan for managing the inevitable tears in a way that your child isn't just left alone for huge extended periods of time without support. That's not what sleep coaching needs to look like. Your baby should be able to hear your voice and feel your touch and have a hug if they need a hug. That can all be part of sleep coaching, but that's probably what you're looking at when you are considering removing those overnight feeds if you have decided that's what you're ready to do and you want to do something different instead, where you can support your baby and reassure your baby, but have your baby go to sleep more independently. We have a number of resources on the website at thehappysleepcompany.com. Things like blog posts that talk about different strategies for sleep coaching. We have another podcast episode on different sleep coaching methodologies. So take a look at those, because what you really want to do is make sure you have a solid plan that you are comfortable with and confident in that you'll be consistent about if you're going to look at changing the way your baby goes to sleep in order to get them sleeping better overnight. Last question for today. My 6-month-old has been waking for a 5 a.m. feed for 3 weeks. Prior to this, she slept through from 6:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. every night for months. What's going on? What might have happened here is that baby went through a little bit of a regression. 6 months is a huge age for both cognitive and physical development for babies, and there might have been a night wake or two that happened a couple of nights in a row around 5 a.m. that baby wasn't having before because they woke up teething a little bit or working on some kind of developmental milestone. Maybe this mom thought, oh, that's odd. I'm not sure what to do right now because you don't normally wake at 5 a.m. I guess I'll give you a feed. And then baby might have been like, huh, well, I wasn't really hungry for a feed. We can be confident in that because I have been doing this whole night without a feed for months. I didn't suddenly get hungry at 5 a.m. I was working on something. It was making me a little cranky and fussy. You decided to feed me. Now I liked that and I feel like I might start to ask for that every night around 5 a.m. We have to remember the hours between about 3 and 6 a.m. are our lightest stage of sleep. For us as adults, for our babies, for our toddlers, we're all in a lighter stage of sleep at that point. If we wake up, it's harder to get back to sleep at that time than it is at, say, midnight if we wake up a little bit. Because at midnight, we still have a lot of sleep pressure left. At 5 a.m., we're still tired, we still need a little more sleep, but we don't have as much sleep pressure left, so it can be harder to get back to sleep. And if baby is introduced to a sleep crutch at that time, they will often start to wake up habitually at that time looking for that crutch rather than using their own sleep skills to get back to sleep. So I would suggest this might be what happened with this 6-month-old, is that they had a little bit of a regression, something was going on, a feed was sort of reintroduced to the 5 a.m. time, and baby kind of got used to that, and mom and or dad might need to consider some kind of sleep coaching to remove that feed if they feel confident their baby doesn't need it. If they feel confident that suddenly their baby is a little bit hungry at that time, rather than doing the 5 a.m. feed, we might want to consider trying to add in more calories in the day. And that's an important thing to keep in mind for a 6-month-old. A lot of 6-month-olds aren't having any solids yet. They haven't been introduced yet. Or if they have, it's really recent. It's really new. They're not getting a lot of solids in their mouth. They're not getting a lot of calories in their bodies from solids yet. But often, parents are still doing just one feed per wake window all throughout the day, and they're just trying out some solids, but most of them are getting spat on the floor. So often at 6 months, I will recommend 2 feeds, either breast or bottle, per wake window throughout the day to max out those daytime calories. Remember, now your baby is up for 2 to 2.5 hours at a time at this age. That gives us time to offer a breast or bottle feed at the beginning of the wake window, and then another breast or bottle feed maybe around 30 minutes before the end of the wake window, before their next nap. I would consider that for a 6-month-old, and I would offer that sort of top-up feed at every wake window for a 6-month-old because they might be starting to need a little more calorie in the day, and they might not be on a lot of solids yet. So until your baby gets a little better with solids, you might want to consider those 2 feeds in each wake window. If you're not already doing that, this might help this particular mom out, or you, if you're the mom who's also dealing with a 5 a.m. wake at this age. It might help max out daytime calories just a little bit more to rule out any chance that that 5 a.m. wake is about a little bit of hunger and needing some extra calories. Instead of doing them at that time and everyone having to wake up at 5 a.m., try to max out those calories in the day, get those nice big full feeds in the day, but also offer those top-ups to make sure those calories are topped up. That's the top 5 for the week. I hope that was helpful. If you are experiencing night wakes, go check out those other resources that I talked about. If you are experiencing scheduling issues, I hope those first few questions helped you out. We do have sleep guides on the website, thehappysleepcompany.com. We have a 4 to 10 month sleep guide that covers scheduling for those ages. And then we have an 11 to 18 month sleep guide for those ages. They really cover a ton of scheduling nuances. Those guides, they're not necessarily about sleep coaching. They're not actually about sleep coaching at all. They're about scheduling. I would say they are for parents who say, I've already done sleep coaching. My baby's a totally independent sleeper, but I really always end up with a ton of questions about wake windows, scheduling. What time do I need to wake my baby up for the day? Do I need to cap the naps at a certain length? What is the range within which bedtime could be at this age? Those are the kinds of questions that those sleep guides really get into and answer. And the 11 to 18 month guide, in addition to all of that, actually talks about a step-by-step guide for transitioning your child from 2 naps to 1 when they are ready for that, because that 2 to 1 nap transition can be a pretty big leap for a lot of children. And often we want to try to do it gradually over the course of a couple of weeks. So that guide talks about the steps for that. Hope that was helpful. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sleep Cues, the Everything Baby Sleep podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with a mom or dad who might need some rest. Connect with us on Instagram at The Happy Sleep Company and check out our website, thehappysleepcompany.com, for loads of blogs, sleep guides, and information about how we work with families one-on-one to get sleep on track.